being connected to others and letting them connect with us is a fabric of life. Truth is, I really believe God has designed us to live in relationship with other people, but that's another sermon for another text and another day. Our desire to be connected, to be in relationship, to know and to be known, you know, has flooded my life at different times in different ways. But a lot of years ago now, it's scary to think how long, I sat in a church auditorium and I watched a series of videotapes, and they were videotapes back then, of messages by a guy named Tony Campolo. He was at that time a professor of sociology at Eastern College and University. And he shared the results of a study that, a published study that interviewed 80-somethings. And they were asked the question, if you could do life over again, what's one thing you would do differently? Now, it's interesting that none of them said that they would work more hours, work longer hours, you know, that whole career deal. And far and away, the most often given answer on that survey was that they would put more into the relationships they had, particularly those special and close relationships with family and friends. Relationships matter. Relationships keep us going. Relationships fill a void in our life that we can't fill by ourselves. And I believe that Papa John, the writer of the book of 1 John, would agree with that. And not only does he agree with that, but the truth is he opens his letter, building his whole letter on the fact of relationships. And he uses a word, it's kind of one of those church words, fellowship. Like a lot of doctors' medical terms, it doesn't necessarily communicate naturally to us. But I'll unpack that in a few minutes. Let's listen to what he writes. We're going to read again those first four verses. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship." There's that word. "So that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." Let's pray for a moment. God, would you help us unpack those words? Teach us a bit about what it means to be connected with other people and with you. Be with us, I pray, Lord God. In Jesus' name, I make this prayer. Amen. First point I want to make is that fellowship, it is a connected knowing and being known. Now, for most of us, the word fellowship just, I don't think, catches what John was trying to say. Part of the problem is ourselves, especially those of us who live in the Western world, because we live independent lives. We, most of us, really pride ourselves on our independence, our ability to make it by ourselves, to get along. We don't like to be dependent on others. Right? It's part of the nature of who we are in this country and in the West. It's not completely like that around the globe. And because of that, it's really hard for us to catch what John is talking about when he says we have fellowship with each other and with God. Fellowship is one of those words that, doesn't compute. So let me see if I can try to paint some pictures to at least help you see and grasp what that word, what John is trying to communicate, and what the people are hearing when they hear that word. The word fellowship carries a sense of mutual connectedness. That I'm connected with that person I'm in fellowship with, and you're connected with me. So just take a quick scan around the room. That would mean that there is a connection between me and you. Or you and me. See, that's tough for those of us who value independence. There's a part of the word fellowship that implies that there's a joint ownership of things. And this really makes us nervous. Now, I might think, ooh, it'd be nice if John's boat was mine. But I don't know that I'd be real happy if Nate thought my car was his. But there is that sense built into fellowship that what I have is available, particularly to those who might have a need if they need it. It's not a law. It's not a requirement. It's not a have to. It's the sense that in my connectedness, if you have a lack and I can help, that I would want to do that. It's a participation with someone. It's a willingness to walk life with somebody else. And you can see why I struggle to make the connections to our culture, because we don't live that way. We put fences up around our yards. Stay on your property, I'll stay on mine. But John is saying there is something more. There's this additional fellowship dimension to life. We could think of it as the vine and the branches. Jesus uses that illustration. John talks about it in John 15. Well, the branches are dependent on the root. They're connected with one another. And the two of them, the roots providing the nourishment, the vines reaching out to the sun, produce fruit that neither of them could produce by themselves. Another image could be that of marriage, a married couple. Two become one. Well, I'm still me, but when my wife hurts, I hurt. How do you explain that? I don't know. And that's the kind of connection that John is suggesting in that word fellowship. It's all wrapped up in that one word. And there's no word that can communicate that in our language. Maybe you remember an account in Acts chapter 2. The church has really just been birthed. Peter preaches a sermon and it goes from 120 people to 3,120 people in a day. And this is the description Luke gives of that new community. He says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, there's that word, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. Now get this next thing. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now people say, oh, is that what the church is always supposed to look like? Well, yeah, no. It's not legislated. It's not like, okay, we now have a communist system. You join this church, everything is together, and I'm going to parcel it out. No. It was the sense of community where people said, wow, that person's in trouble. I've got more land than I need. I could sell a little bit of it and help him out. I want to have folks over and let's eat together so we can figure out who you are and who I am. See, it's not a legislated thing. It's that desire, that recognition that we're connected. And in order to be connected, I've got to get to know you a bit. Now, everyone's not going to know everybody. But if everyone is connected to some people, then the whole body is connected. See the picture? That's what's going on in fellowship. I guess one of the other ways I'll explain it happened on one of my first visits to Africa. So we were staying in this compound with Peter Fretheim. He lived next door. And every day I would get picked up by a driver from the seminary who would drive me to the seminary so I could teach. Second or third day, a different driver showed up and he became the one who drove me regularly and we've become friends over the years. But a funny thing happened, because he pulled in and he waved to the compound guard. Everything is compounds and you have to open the doors in order to get in. And he waved to the guard and he came and he dutifully, you know, carried my books to the back. You know, I mean, they're really a polite culture. And as we were driving out, he started chatting in his native language with the guard who opened the door. And it was pretty clear that they had just met. This was the first time they had met. And you know, the chatting went a little longer than usual, you know, 2-3 minutes. And the next thing I know, the guard ran into his little house and he brought out, it's kind of like an envelope. I mean, it was sort of paper folded together. There was clearly something in it. And he gave it to my driver, Donjima. So as we drove off, I said, so what was that anyway? And Donjima said, the man's name is Jibring, and he's from my tribe. I said, how'd you know that? I said, he said, I could tell by his accent and the facial markings. And he said, we just met. And I said, I was going back home. And he said, oh, would you take this? And he says, I think it's money for his family back home. You know, this is a 5 or 6 hour journey away. See, they have a fellowship because they were in the same tribe. They had never met each other. That didn't mean their families even knew each other. But because they had that tribal connection, Jibring, who doesn't make much money, was willing to share this little bit he has with this unknown guy because the guy said he's going to his hometown. That's one picture of what God is trying to communicate when he uses that word, fellowship. Now, we've got a lot of growth to do. All, you know, kind of American and Westerners, we have a lot of growth in that area. It's a little nervous to trust people sometimes. That's why we did a series on one anothering. You may remember those big things hanging down here off the cross. But whether we enter it fully or not, it is part of what God gives to us. Now, let's go on to the second piece. See, this fellowship has two dimensions. John writes all of this stuff so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The fellowship that happens to someone who becomes a follower of Jesus Christ has an earthly dimension as people connect, and it has a heavenly dimension as we connect with God. Think of a cross. There's horizontal and vertical dimensions. Now, all of those things I just tried to illustrate humanly, God grants to us with Himself. You're new in the faith. It's a brand new deal. And you say, God, can you help me? And like Donjima in the car, he says, sure, what can I do? Oh, I can do that for you. God participates in our life. He's interested in who you are, in what's going on in your life, in how things are working and flowing and where you are. Because God says, in Jesus, I have fellowship with you. I am connected with you. And we spend a rest of our life growing into that connection from our side. What does it mean to say, oh, I'm connected to God? What does it mean for me to say, God, is there something you would have me do today? Not just, God, here's what I want you to do for me today. Bing, bing, bing. We have that fellowship and it's two directions. It's bi-directional. And the truth is, the vertical part is what holds everything together. The NIV translates that sentence very simply, and our fellowship is with. But some of the other translations, the New American Standard Bible, for instance, or the ESV says, and indeed our fellowship is with. The King James family of Bibles says, and truly our fellowship is with. Some say, and moreover our fellowship is with. See, what supports the human connection, that human fellowship, is the fact that God already grants to us that connection, that participation. God longs to be involved in our lives. And He offers Himself to us. And says, come, be involved in my life. And the key for all of that is Jesus. Ange really caught the flavor of where we were going today with the songs we sang. All those songs about Jesus. Because being a follower of Jesus is the key to both the horizontal and vertical fellowship God grants. Verses 1 and 2 and explore Jesus, but don't use the name right away. But John writes things like, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. Notice the emphasis on his personal, I saw this. He goes on to say, that which we looked at, our hands, my own hands touched. I mean, he's talking about Jesus even though he isn't using his name yet. He calls him the Word of Life. Now, John's community would have caught that right away. Do you remember how his gospel opens? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Can you hear the similarities? And where does that definition of Jesus go? Verse 12 of John 1. Yet to all who receive Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Where will John go in this letter? Well, he'll close this letter with these words. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father is His child as well. And then verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. The doorway to fellowship, to connection with God, is Jesus Christ. What John knew and discovered and talked about, proclaimed, is something that we can all have when we say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I will follow you. And when that happens, God grants us fellowship with Himself right there on the spot. When we say, I believe, God says, okay, from this moment forward, you and I are connected. You can share in everything I have. I will participate in your life, and you can participate in mine. It is a gift granted by faith in Jesus Christ. And then He says, I'm going to plant you in a community where you can learn to participate with others in life and in the way of God, where you can learn the beauty of being cared for and caring for others, where you can learn what it's like to walk through life with other people. Now, the truth is, most often we feel that when we go through a hard time. And I don't wish a hard time on anybody. But as I look back on my life, wow, that's when the body, that's when brothers and sisters paid dividends and gave life that was unexpected and kept me going. I know I've told parts of the story, but one of the churches I served ended pretty ugly, and it just didn't work out, and ended up resigning on the spot at an elders meeting, and my entire life was thrown into chaos. You doubt your calling, you doubt, you know, how am I going to live? I've given so much to this profession. Do I have to go to another? All those things flash through your minds. It's crazy. And as word of that filtered out, I got a call from I'll call him a friend. I mean, we weren't very close. We were, you know, sort of close. He was part of a church staff in another part of the city. And we'd get together, you know, maybe once a quarter, something like that. And he called me up and he said, our elders would like to invite you and your wife and your family, if all of you can come. And we just want to surround you with prayer and pray for you. And I was blown away. And we figured out a mutual time, and these 10 people I had never met before, and this pastor friend of mine and another pastor on the staff I knew, gathered around us and prayed for Susan and I. Our kids, as I recall, couldn't make it. And hope filled me in one of the darkest moments of my life. And they said, hey, why don't you worship here for a while? Because, you know, you leave your pastor, you're out. Where do you go? And so we went there. It was a long distance. We went there for a couple weeks. And the first week we walked in, I noticed that the sanctuary was decorated with kind of urns. There were little flowers out of them, but they were all broken urns that were around the walls of this cathedral-like sanctuary. And I asked him after the service, I said, you know, am I picking up on something here? And he said, you absolutely are. He said, we've decorated the church that way because we want everyone to know we're all broken pots. We all have something broken inside. But yet from that broken pot, there can come this sprig, if you will, of life. And he said, these were absolutely intentional. And they sure communicated to me as soon as I walked in. And that church for about 3 or 4 weeks breathed life into us. They were people I didn't know. But they were willing to participate in my pain, to share a little bit of that and walk with me. And friends, that's part of what God offers us in Jesus Christ. We don't have to do life alone. Now, none of us are perfect at this fellowship thing. God is, we're not. But even in our imperfection, God can give incredible grace. But you do have to open yourself up to that. If you're a stone wall, human beings can't connect. And John is inviting this community to join in the fellowship which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And this morning I hold up two things. One, an invitation to everyone here, and to people you know who are looking for something more, that something more can be found in faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm also challenging us as a community to be a place where that kind of fellowship happens. Not because we've got rules, this is how we do it, but because it just springs to life as we see one another and figure out how can we participate together in this life God has given us. In just a few moments, we're going to celebrate communion. Today is referred to in some liturgical books as World Communion Sunday. Some churches, denominations celebrate communion daily. Some celebrate it weekly. Some celebrate it once a quarter. Some celebrate it monthly. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of patterns for that. But a while ago, I don't even remember exactly when, a lot of the denominations in the world said, let's pick the first Sunday in October to all celebrate communion. And so those who do it quarterly kind of made it land on this day. And those who do it weekly, it naturally landed here. And those who do it this or then made it land on here. And so today, most churches around the world, whether they're in the, you know, the outskirts of some big city or a field, whether they speak English or French or Italian or Spanish or some aboriginal language, are gathering around the table. It's a symbol that we participate together in what God has given us, a fellowship that is both human to human and divine to human. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that even though we don't fully understand it, that our culture may have struggles with it, you offer this incredible fellowship to us one-on-one, and you invite the church, your people, to move closer and closer to one another, to emulate truer and truer fellowship as we do life together. Father, I pray for people here that if they don't know Jesus, that you would keep speaking to them and you would draw them to you so they would have that fellowship with you. And I pray you would teach us as a group of believers, as an assembly, to recognize that we really can't do life alone. But you've given us this incredible group to do life with. Thank you for the divine fellowship we have. And thank you for the fellowship you offer one to another. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.